The first action item is the Talented and Gifted Program Plan, Tab 3, and we'll have some folks presenting.
I'd like to begin, if that's acceptable.
Okay, Superintendent, go ahead.
All right. Well, what I want to begin with is a thank you to our TAG staff and our TAG Advisory Committee for advancing this agenda around how we serve our talented and gifted students in the district. My hope is that this plan is viewed as a set of commitments that we need to make as a school district in serving these students. I say that with the understanding that the last plan that the district constructed occurred in 1991. As you see in some of the materials, the DPI had some concerns about that particular plan. At this point in time, my preference is that we create a forward look in terms of what we need to do in relationship to not only what's found in state standards relative to gifted and talented students, but also our moral responsibility to ensure that, consistent with our belief around serving all kids well, that we take a forward look and we recognize that there are things that we need to do. And I believe that this plan is consistent with those first steps that need to occur. It has been vetted through not only through the department, but with, I feel, a great deal of parent input. I am specifically requesting that the plan, as presented this evening, be approved so we can move forward with these new commitments. But at the same time, I want to be very clear, and I've tried to be clear throughout with my interactions with the various groups that have been working on the plan, that much work lies ahead in terms of the type of things that need to happen in our school district on fronts like ensuring appropriate identification across multiple domains of giftedness and ensuring that we have a more complete range of programming options for students. And as I've said, using that metaphor again, we need to turn it on the light switch, obviously, in making those commitments, but there's a lot of things that have to happen via professional development for staff to ensure that we have the consistent response to this plan. And so I can't emphasize enough that I believe that the plan has the appropriate elements as first steps and that it's been vetted through an appropriate review process. And what we are also including, and others will mention this as well, in the first year, minimally a mid-year and end-of-year review, that we'd have interaction back with the Board of Education, providing updates. Because my sense is that we're going to have to monitor and adjust based on what we learn, and that we're going to have to be in consideration of other ideas as we move forward. So with that said, I do appreciate the work that's been done. This work has been at my request, that we revise our talented and gifted plan. I appreciate the fact that it didn't take many months to have this plan in place. And I know depending on how you look at the plan, either you would have crafted something slightly differently or you may have added something. But I believe this plan will put us in good stead with what the intentions are of the state standard and that will allow us to begin to build the right kind of infrastructure within the district, and we need to get about that. And so with that said, I am pleased with bringing this to you, and we're going to learn much over short time in terms of whether or not these are the right things, but we need to be about these things nonetheless. So with that said, we have a presentation that we want to provide you tonight regarding the details of the plan. We're going to work to keep that fairly brief because you've had the plan before you. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Lisa Wachtel, who's going to, if you could introduce everyone,
absolutely,
I would appreciate that. And also provide an overview, brief overview of the process that we've used to develop this plan. And then Barbie Klawakowski, our interim TAG coordinator, will provide a brief overview, and this is Barbie, of the recommendations in the plan. So
okay.
Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you, and we're pleased to be here tonight. In addition to Barbie Klawakowski, our interim TAG coordinator, with us tonight to answer questions and co-present, we have Bettine Littman, an instructional resource teacher in the Talented and Gifted Division, and Chris Gomez-Schmidt, member of our TAG advisory committee and also on the subcommittee that worked with us through the duration of the summer, and Lori Frost, also a member of the TAG advisory committee and the subcommittee. And before we go any further, I know it's in the cover letter that you have in front of you, but I really do want to acknowledge and appreciate the work and the effort and the dedication that so many people on the TAG advisory committee and otherwise put into bringing this to the point that we're able to present you a revised TAG plan. How we got here, the process, just a little overview. Given the context that Dr. Neerad presented to you, we knew that we needed to look at our TAG plan and create a plan that met the needs of our district and the changing research in the context. And one of the first steps that we embarked on near the beginning of this year was to solicit invitations and recruit for a TAG advisory committee, striving for representation from our community, from parents, teachers, and principals to work with us in two of the identified key areas that we knew we needed to make improvement in. And those at the beginning were in the identification and the programming. And we've, as we worked through the process, also focused quite heavily on the professional development in our conversations. So beginning in February, we had a 30-member TAG advisory committee with broad representation, and we met monthly between February and June five times, beginning to focus in on those two key areas, looking for input, suggestions, and critique on the identification process and the programming options that we have in Madison. In addition to the TAG advisory committee that met monthly, we also held a public forum. Dr. Neerad and our TAG coordinator at that time, Gretchen Wolf, held a public session in the auditorium to gather insights, perspectives, strengths, and weaknesses from our community. The input from the advisory committee, the input from that forum, and the past issues and experience that we've had with our TAG division in the district have all been folded into this process in an attempt to develop a plan that will identify what those areas are of need and specific steps to begin to lay a firm foundation to build a strong plan to be moving forward. The process had its challenges. We're dealing in a time of strategic planning. There's issues and conversations with changing norms about how the district overall does business. And to be very honest, it was a very challenging conversation to have. Many levels of issues and many expectations and hopes that our community has for us that we're struggling to meet and to balance. But we did stay with the process. We're staying committed to having broad input and acknowledging that we are a district committed to continual improvement. And through June and into July, we met on a very regular basis, bringing this plan to its final draft form that you have in front of you of our proposed plan, to look at the eight areas that Barbie will go through shortly. As Dan mentioned, part of the plan is that we will continue to look at the progress that's made, update, and make revisions where needed based on data, based on progress, based on events as they unfold. So in January and in June, you'll hear more about where we're at, what the statistics look like, what our progress, successes, and areas that we need to change are. So a specific item that you will see in the TAG plan relates to the budget as well, and I'll just briefly call that to your attention, and that there is a budget item in here for your consideration for approval. And at this point, There is 1.0 FTE requested in this plan. As we're looking at the development, the data, the conversation, the professional development for all of the action steps, we're asking for a 1.0 addition to current TAG budget as it is. And part of the action steps do identify that we will be looking at other districts, other minority student achievement network districts and surrounding districts to take a look at other talented and gifted programming and analyze staffing and resources necessary in bringing those back in future drafts and versions. So with that, I will turn it over to Barbie, who will walk through the major areas of the plan.
So basically, we know that, as has been said, we needed to better align ourselves with state statutes and also National Association for Gifted Children standards. There are some national standards that we want to align to. But also, as a division in the district, we realized for quite some time some areas that we need improvement. So we came up with basically 8 goals that we'd like to focus on, and I'm going to cover those briefly. Goal number 1 is a comprehensive identification process. Currently, we identify kids basically on a referral basis, and typically only in academics, a lot in math. The statutes say that we need to be identifying kids in 5 domains, so we're going to work toward that in our plan. And we're trying to expand our identification system by adopting other tools, perhaps, and as well as developing student profiles when we do the identification so that we're truly using several sources of information to identify students. And hopefully, as we move toward that as a goal, we will identify more students, especially from underserved populations. So that's definitely one of our goals. Also, again, from our division standpoint, and the way I sort of see it is, we really don't have a system in place for identifying, obviously, so we need to systematize what we're doing, we need to make it comprehensive, and we need to be consistent in what we do across the district, obviously. The second goal is then, after identification, what are the programming options? One of the things we really need to do is be consistent, again, with what programming options we have available. Some of the things that were mentioned in the plan, such as acceleration, are not consistent across the district in every building. So one of the things we really need to do is be consistent across buildings with what we do offer, and then we also need to move forward and look for other programming opportunities that we can add to our repertoire or menu for students. We'll be working on that, and again, aligning with state statutes in the 5 domains. Goal number 3, we talked about developing a differentiated education plan, basically, for students. And I have seen the parallel right away with the strategic plan and the individual learning plan. But we have had conversation, actually, about it's sort of a point in time that is something that the district wants to move forward for all students, but like special education, TAG students have always had we called it an instep in the district. We're going to move to a different language and call it a differentiated education plan per DPI guidelines. And really, that goal to me started way back. I think what was missing partly was we don't have a system in place for monitoring. I like systems. So when I have a student receiving programming, I want markers in place, and I want it consistent to monitor that student's progress. So that's really partly where that came from. So working that into that goal. Number 4, we currently really don't provide, and again, aligning with national standards and state guidelines. We don't have socio-emotional support in place for students, so that's definitely, I mean, we're starting from ground zero, basically, and we'd like to do some more collaboration and come up with a plan to involve other district staff to help us provide that support for students. That's goal number four. Goal number five, as Lisa talked about, it became one of our bigger issues of discussion is providing professional development around talented and gifted students, around best practices in the field based on research, and then also to dispel any misconceptions out there about talented and gifted students. And the other piece is the professional development for all staff members in the district. And to me, it's relative to, we've had some discussion about the culture of it. So to me, that professional development will influence the culture around talented and gifted, and that definitely needs some improvement. Also, with the professional development piece, we acknowledge and recognize that the professional development needs to include TAG staff. So we need continual opportunities to learn along the way and keep up with the research and keep up with the best practices ourselves. So we've included a step in the plan for that as well. Number six, and some of these I see more specific to the needs of the district, we need to expand our use of technology. We really don't have a streamlined system for, we have things available and it hasn't been implemented. It's not consistent, it's not effective, it's not efficient, and I'm hoping to implement some of those changes using some of our other departments and using the technology available. So to me, that's a huge piece that will be very helpful in moving toward more efficient practices. Number seven, I feel, and I think people would agree, we haven't really had a plan or a means of, again, systematically communicating to our buildings and to the community, you know, to all stakeholders, what we're about, what our division stands for, what our programming options are, all of those things. We haven't communicated that effectively. So I'm hoping to address that by creating, you know, several means, one perhaps being a resource guide that every building would have that principals and staff could turn to get a better idea of what our practice is regarding talented and gifted in the district. So a clear message out there to the staff and community, I think that would help with a much better unified message, and we need it to be consistent. Number eight, the last goal is ongoing program evaluation. Once we work toward implementing new identification practices and programming, all of the goals have an evaluation process in place to monitor what we're doing, and that aligns again with national and state guidelines.
So in summary, we hope that the outline and the plan gives you a clear picture of our initial steps for developing a talented and gifted plan, the connections to the strategic plan. I could just make a few points there. A strong, talented and gifted plan really connects with several goals within the strategic plan. If we take a look at what our definition of rigor is and increasing rigor across the curriculum, that will strengthen the opportunity for more and more students to be able to access accelerated advanced courses and programming, to be able to move forward with differentiation, that is meeting the needs of many different students within a class, and having curricula that invite students to engage at different points and have a strong differentiated curriculum at as a core practice is also an element of the TAG plan and connects with the strategic plan. So that as many needs as possible are provided in the regular classroom environment.
and to be taking a look at the programming options. Our strategic plan looks at accelerated learning and curricular mapping and assessments are elements that we have outlined in the strategic plan, and these are elements that will connect and bridge for all students a more comprehensive and rigorous curriculum. And you'll also note in the action steps that our TAG division is collaborating across the district with principals, with teachers, with all departments, with special education, English as a second language, research and evaluation, that this is truly a plan that touches our entire district. And through collaborative efforts with our different areas of expertise, we're committed to providing the best quality education for all of our students. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, after that presentation, I'm going to open it up for comments or questions from the board. We also have the other members that can answer questions as well. So would anyone like to open it up right now? Well, I had a few comments. One was that I appreciate the time and effort that was put into this plan. I think the parents that spent hours and hours and the community that came out during our community forum, we really appreciate them sharing both their own information and talents and gifts. Hopefully we don't stop being talented and gifted once we graduate from high school. It's part of the idea of taking advantage of the community that we live in, as well as really reflecting what our community is. And we struggle with that, and we will continue to open up all of our meetings to more communication with the community. I had a few questions. One was related to the DPI standards. And I just wanted to check. The DPI doesn't go to school districts and check to make sure you've met standards. We've just been, is that correct?
The previously, meaning many years ago, was an audit process. Mm-hmm. And every year there was a certain number of districts that had audits of all the standards. Mm-hmm. That hasn't existed for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So I think it's safe to say that we're in recognition that our current work is not aligned to those standards, and this is a response to move forward without audit in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was looking back at that audit back in 91, and that was quite a while ago, and so I recognized that we really need to figure out a way that we can define our own district in this area. I just have a few things off of the top of my head just to kind of start the conversation, and that relates to my questions of what have we lost along the way as far as programming. We kind of went down a different route. It's kind of like the way of the report cards where you try things out, and we have the differentiated classrooms, and I think they work well for some and not so much for others. And so I'd like to get response on how are we going to deal with this tension? It comes back to some of us are going to always like A, B's, and C's, and some of us are always going to like classrooms that are very accelerated. And how do we mesh that tension? How do we address that tension on an annual basis? Because I do think that when you talk to parents that have graduates that have gone through Madison, one comment that we hear often is, well, Madison used to be, or they used to provide. And a lot of that is budgetary, and I recognize that. But we need to figure out ways to accommodate all in this budget times. And one thing that I was doing is doing some research, and lo and behold, Alan Auden had a whole piece on gifted and talented, and I love the way he phrased it. It was gifted, talented, able, and ambitious students. And it's a whole section that goes into the fact that there's no categorical aid from the state, very little aid to the state for this segment of students, and that that we do need to find ways to educate kids. And this was back in 2006 when Auden said that he had a few things that talked about the research that he had done and they had compiled and looked at. And one was efforts to discover the hidden talent of low-income and or culturally diverse students, curriculum materials designed specifically to meet the needs of talented learners, acceleration of the curriculum, and special training in how teachers can work effectively with talented learners. And, you know, he really summarized the issue that we are facing right now, which is figuring out a way to identify those. And that gets into one of my other questions. I would like someone to respond to the underrepresented demographic that we've mentioned in here, because I like the way Auden basically said, find that hidden talent of low-income and or culturally diverse students. That's the tension right there. It's not enough, in my opinion, to talk about talented and gifted. We have to make the assumption that in the general population, we are underserving a whole group of students. And in addition, we need to, at least I do as a board member, to go beyond whatever my perceived idea is of good education or fair education, and just find ways that we can make this affordable, even if it goes against mine. And that means things like accelerated learning. I wasn't too much on that, but it seems like Auden was actually for that. So let's use some of this research that we have available to us. In addition, the state standards and what have we lost along the way, and talking about the tension and the underrepresented kids, I think a lot of this comes down to that standards-based, to me, and WKCE are like just enough curriculum. They're not really anywhere near where we want to go when we talk about a strategic plan that has rigor and raising the bar or raising everyone. And one thing that jumped out for me, and it's just my own bias, is that one FTE is not going to do it. When I go to parents and they say, you know, at Oregon or other school districts around, you know, or Middleton, oh, well, we have this many TAG people. What I need an answer from with this TAG plan is, well, we may not have this many people, but we have these programs in place, or we have these tests available. And that's where I think our strength lies, is that we can hopefully leverage the cost of the at least the identification process through really good testing systems. And what I would be most disappointed with as a board member is to find us studying this stuff for another 6 months or a year. Because what I deal with on a regular basis is middle school families, elementary school families that say, should I leave now? Should I leave now? Because there's two spots open at Edgewood School. And I need to have a plan. And I recognize that there was a lot of work done with this. And so I'm not trying to come off as negative, but I just want to express how a parent feels that it's an immediate thing. It's something that they're looking at this. I think parents are looking at this and they're saying, okay, what is that Board of Ed going to do now? And hopefully that they're going to put some teeth to this. And at the same time, we cannot forget that we have left behind many, many kids we have not identified. And just finally to close, I think that Gloria Ladson-Billings has talked about this, about how when you have poorly managed cooperative learning, it just creates a tension in the classroom. And the teachers end up being frustrated, and the high achievers end up being frustrated, and the low-end kids that are struggling end up frustrated. So we really need to look at this with some sort of skepticism and scientific, you know, discovery, and say, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this, and how are we going to do it as soon as possible so that we can start identifying those kids that aren't in there? And if we need to make administrative decisions, then I say that's for the administrative administration to decide, but it's really time for this plan, and I appreciate whatever comments and conversation flows. And now I have comments, so I will go to Ms. Moss, followed by Mr. Winston, followed by Ms. Maslin.
All right, just first of all, I wanted to say thank you for the presentation. I'm speaking from the perspective of someone who attended a private school in California until the fourth grade, then went to MMSD Elementary School in fourth and fifth grade, and then Hamilton in sixth grade, switched to Eagle for a variety of reasons, not because of being unhappy with MMSD, and then went back to Madison West for high school. So I've kind of been everywhere, per se. I think that it's definitely a very important goal to have classes at all levels that are available for all students, but I have to say I'm a little bit wary of grouping all of the talented and gifted children together and separating those kids from the rest of the students. It's really hard to find the balance. While I think it's really important to make sure that students aren't in a classroom where it's too easy for them, at the same time, I think it's also really important that all students be in the same diverse kind of classrooms, because right now it's hard for me. In my last couple years of high school, I find myself in classes that are, I would say, 95% white, upper middle class, and while the education I'm getting is great and the classes are great, I look around and I think, why is this the makeup of this class, and what's going on here? And then I have some classes that maybe they aren't very advanced classes. Maybe I'm bored sometimes, but I'm surrounded by tons of my peers from all different backgrounds, and I feel like that's just as valuable as the education I'm getting in those AP classes. And then the last thing that I wanted to say is I've been labeled, you know, talented and gifted, and I've always kind of, for some reason, had a little bit of trouble with that term. While it's something that we use and it's something we're always going to be using, I can't help but think that isn't every single one of our students in our district talented and gifted in some way. And I mean, the tests that we're using to determine talented and gifted don't necessarily show everything. And so I think that it's really important to try and strive to provide classes for students in all those five domains and in every area that a student might have a passion for learning or be advanced or accelerated. But thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to the changes that we're making in our district. And I would just say, let's try our best to work with all students and to find that balance. And I guess I have to be careful in saying this, but let's make sure we don't widen the achievement gap and work on closing it with this new plan.
Before Ms. Moss speaks, could one of you just go over for the audience the five different domains of talented and gifted? Because I think some folks think of that as just math and reading and don't understand that it's very complicated.
There's academically talented, and there is the visual and performing arts, leadership, and creativity are the five categories.
And currently, what does the district do as far as testing? Or it's always parent-driven, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or teacher recommendation?
Yeah, one of the issues that we put right up front with the identification as one of the focal points for conversation is, as Barbie mentioned, the process at this point is primarily relying on referral. And that process in and of itself, in isolation, will lead to some of the issues that we see right now, and that the talents and strengths of individuals that don't have advocates, or that their talents and strengths might have communication barriers or have other cultural factors in. These are issues. So to be able to develop and to implement in a fair and equitable way identification for those five categories that will highlight the demographics of Madison in a representative way is a huge challenge, and that's one of the key goals that we're going to be tackling.
Thank you. Ms. Moss, followed by Mr. Winston.
Okay. Yes, I would also like to thank you, Ms. Maslin, for your comments, too. I wanted to thank the committee who worked really, really hard on this. It's obviously very long in coming, and, you know, I think it's really important that since Dr. Nered's been here, there have been so many things that have come up, and we've, you know, before DPI comes to knocking on our door, you know, we're taking care of it, and I really do appreciate that. I am really excited about the identification process. I think that this has been also a long time coming. I think it fits in really well with the strategic plan because we're going to be identifying the children, coming up with or developing the differentiated education plan for them. And I also see it as kind of like an IEP. I think I want every child in this district to have an individual learning plan, but I think that this is just as important as an IEP, and I think that it is, you know, it's time that we start looking at kids' strengths. I'm really pleased that we're going to be looking at leadership and fine arts as well as the straight academics. The fine arts especially fits in so nicely with the fine arts task force report that we approved. And it feels like everything is finally kind of falling into place. All these things are starting to come together, and we're starting to see the overlap that we talked about. I did have a question about the identification process. Who would be initiating the screening for the students, since now it's generally parents or maybe a single teacher?
Although the entire processes, grade levels, and tools do need to be defined, and there is work to be done, the general sense of screening is that it is done on a district-wide basis, and so that there's consistency. So at this point in time, and jump in if you see it differently, but a screening process would be, for example, a quick assessment that would be given to all first graders.
Okay, that's great. That's great. Okay, good. And also consistency, the word consistency across schools. You know, we all know that in some schools, children are getting services from individual teachers, and in other schools, they're not. And so this is going to make a big difference. So I think that the one FTE is entirely fair. I think it's a starting point, and I'm planning on supporting the plan next week when we're voting on it. So thank you again very much.
Yes, go ahead. Yes.
By the way, go to the head of the class.
Go ahead, Ms. Frost. That's all right.
I wanted to respond to something that's a couple of things that have come up that I guess aren't going to be responded to by others at the table, but I don't want the moment to go by get too far from you there. One has to do with the criticality of identification for solving some of the problems that we see later on in our high schools. The problem that Sarah experiences in her AP classes at West, for example.
Marge.
She's muted.
We can't hear you, Marge. Can you hear me?
Can you hear us now?
Just nod if you can hear me, Marge. Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
One of the scholars who's done a lot of work in this area is Donna Ford. She's a psychologist down at Vanderbilt. I forget where she was, in Ohio before that. But she's been at Vanderbilt for several years, and she's currently working with Gilman Whiting, another African-American scholar down at Vanderbilt. He works on underachievement in African-American and Latino youth, primarily males. And Donna's background is in multicultural education, gifted education, and multicultural gifted education. Many of you may remember that a few years ago, 2005, I believe it was, and 2006, Donna came and visited, spoke in our district, multiple venues, to parents, to teachers, to students, et cetera, to district staff centrally. Anyway, Donna has a program for us that involves the early identification of high potential students across all demographic groups. There are increasing numbers of tools available to identify giftedness in poverty and in students of color and students with without the advantages that Ms. Maslin and my sons and, you know, a lot of our kids have had, because that is key. That's part number one, to do that early. And to keep on doing that as kids come into our district. But then what's often needed is retention strategies, as she calls them, strategies for supporting these students to travel roads that their siblings might not have traveled, their parents have not traveled, their neighbors have not traveled, perhaps, and to do outreach and support even with their families, for whom this kind of journey of high achievement and all is new and strange. It's essential that those tools be multimodal. That is, we don't just use, certainly the WKCE is not a method for identifying giftedness. Let's just put that right out there. We need culturally unbiased measures. We need verbal measures, nonverbal measures. I mean, but the good news is, there are people who have beat us to the punch and are developing those tools for identifying what are called the hidden gems in our poor communities and our communities of color and our historically underrepresented populations. And so we don't have to invent those measures because they're out there for us. I mentioned outreach and support to families, too, of these kids, because it's not easy being the first one to go to college in your family. It's not easy being the first one to graduate from high school in your family. And if you add on to that you're really, really, really smart and are ready for calculus when you're 14 or whatever it might be, that's also hard. That's culturally hard. So the good news is that there is a roadmap for doing that, and there are the tools out there for doing that, and all we have to do is say, yes, we're going to do that. The language, Sarah, you know, I don't like it either. I'm a gifted girl growing up. I've got two gifted boys. You know both of my sons. I don't like the language either. That's blasphemous in some gifted circles, but the fact of the matter is it's the language we've been given to use, and it's the legal language. So we have to live with it, at least for the time being. No one means to imply, when they use the language, anything of preciousness or specialness or anything like that. It's just the descriptive language we've been given to use to describe students of very high potential and high ability and high performance. I will take issue with one thing you've said. Since you didn't go to Franklin, you didn't hear a principal who often said, all children are talented and gifted, which is not true because of what I just said about the legal language. You know the normal distribution. Maybe you've taken statistics at West, I don't know. But it refers to a certain segment of that normal curve. What I would say is all children have talents and gifts, and I've always said this, all children have talents and gifts in the context of their own constellation of abilities. But that is a very different kind of statement than all students, all children are talented and gifted. And we need to be careful not to get sloppy with our language. So it's an important distinction, I think, that we continue to maintain. I think that's it. No one, by the way, is arguing that we separate people out. And, you know, if you need to talk further about that detail, please, I'm happy to, because that's not, at the level of the high school, I think many of us would support self-selection so that all kids can have this balance that you've achieved, you know.
I want to thank Ms. Frost for clarifying that, and also it's Chris and Chris and Bettine, to make sure you know that you're welcome to give comments as well, because this is a conversation and it can be highly charged, and the words do mean something. So, and I'm one that puts my foot in my mouth all the time, so I'm very aware of how this stuff can get highly charged. I'm going to go to Mr. Winston, and then if you have comments, just raise your hand, and I'll call you, and followed by Mr. Hughes, Mathiak, and Silvera.
And Passman.
And Passman.
Thank you, Marge.
Okay. First of all, Ms. Maslin, I just want to say thank you for your comments. You know, I'll tell you, your predecessors on the board, the ones that served for 2 years, you're following right in their footsteps. It's that second year that everyone starts to speak up, and you know, as an adult member of the board, you know, it's always refreshing to listen to our student representative and learn something. So thank you very much for your comments. Just a couple questions for the superintendent. First of all, in terms of the 1.0 position, where would those monies come from? Would they come from like strategic plan, or where would those dollars come?
When we do our final budget amendments, if this is approved, I would be recommending that we include it as part of the operating budget. And if we're able between now and October to find funding sources for it, we'll obviously include that with the recommendation, but minimally it would become part of the operating budget.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Also, too, just wondered about the advisory committee, the parent advisory committee. I guess my thought, I saw the list of names, and I don't know who they are, but I guess my question would be, are they reflective of our entire school community? And if they're not, then one of the things I'd like to ask is that perhaps we need to do that, to put either more people of color on the committee, some parents that again represent the community. I think that's important. I think if we, in terms of our tag planning, if we are, you know, and if this indeed moves forward, and we are truly serious about providing this type of programming, and we want the programs to reflect or have some reflection of the school district, I believe the people who are part of the planning process need to have those ideals in mind as well. So whatever can be done, and I know this is not a, there's a difference, this is not a board committee, this is in essence your committee,
right,
or committee that you would oversee.
Right.
And so I would just hope that would happen. And if those changes are made, if you could let the board know that, if that's a direction that you feel is necessary. I do feel that that's important, mm-hmm, though. Also, too, one of the things that in terms of the plan, I don't necessarily struggle with the plan, because I do believe that there ought to be a plan for talented and gifted students in this district, and I think it's important that students are represented in that fashion. And obviously, I think I saw some emails from Mr. Hughes, who's gone to a community meeting and talked about, in essence, or I read about gaps or perceived gaps, mm-hmm, that people see, that there's different things happening at different schools, and obviously needing to streamline those, you know, so that we have you know, the AP classes, talented and gifted classes, whatever we call them, that those are reflective throughout the whole school district and not just in certain pockets. So I'm glad that that's being looked at in terms of research. But one of the things in terms of the plan, one of the things that I don't see enough of is that, well, we talk about underserved populations, but who are they? Who are those underserved populations? And shouldn't we say that in the plan? And the reason why I say that in the plan is because it's real, you know, once we get moving on this and we start the evaluation processes and things like that, well, it's hard to say, well, we're reaching the underserved populations. Well, who are they? I don't know who they are because they weren't written out in the plan. And I think that should be. I think it should be. I'm not asking for a quota. I'm not asking for anything related to where there should be this many students of color because we have this many in the district or anything like that, but I do think we should spell out who we are really trying to, you know, and then there has to be a special effort. I mean, I would like to think by now we're at a point where there has to be a concerned effort made to make sure that classes like this, more kids can access those classes. I mean, there's a reason why Gloria Ladson-Billings talked to the school board many, many years ago and talked about, well, the reason why we need to have algebra and geometry at the 9th and 10th grade is so kids can reach for those things and don't give them an out to say, well, you don't have to take algebra and geometry till you're a senior in high school. Well, no, you know, we got to raise that bar right now. And so there's going to have to be a concerned effort to, in essence, try to recruit kids who normally would not. They have the ability. Maybe they just don't. If you're going to be in a class and you're going to be the lonely only, and Ms. Maslin, I bet, you know, I'm sure you see some of your classes and you see one student or two students, and, you know, after a while, and then the other kids are starting to look at you like, well, you know, why are you in that class? You're with the smart kids, and you're, you know, it's those peer pressure kinds of things that also keep our kids from being involved in an advanced placement or a talented and gifted program. So I believe that there is going to have to be a real concerned effort to try to make that happen. And I think we're on the right path when we look at programs like AVID, which I hope will continue to grow. I think even partnering with the People Program and some of what they're doing and several other programs that I know the district is trying to do. But I just know that, you know, if we're going to have a school district that is going to be reflective and that is going to, in essence, raise the bar, we're going to have to do a little bit more than just talk about it. We're going to have to actually do something about it. And so one of the things I'd like you to consider in terms of the plan, bringing it back forward, and I don't know if other board members feel the same way, is to actually put in here who we are trying to target in terms of that underrepresented population. And if we can do something like that, at least then we have an idea of where we want to go.
Superintendent, you wanted to respond?
Yes, I would like to. To the point about the advisory committee, I agree with that observation. And the good news is that we're committed to having an advisory committee in this area on an ongoing basis. So what that means is that we need to think about ensuring representation, and I believe we're going to need to think about going beyond the great spirit of people who have volunteered to be a part of this. We're going to have to reach out. I mean, I very much agree with that, and I guess I want to, unless there's differences amongst board members, which I would obviously want to know, I want to make the assurance that we will move with that thought in mind. We will work we will accomplish that. Relative to the underserved and including that definition in the plan, again, I would just simply want the board to know and the public that I agree with that we should define that, and I have no objection to even define it in the materials for you for next week when you consider approving the plan, because it doesn't take that much time to identify the populations of kids. And so, I have no problem, unless there's some reasons that others would see that as not a good idea. I am committed to having us do this, and we can do it for next week's review of the plan. You know, one of the things, I just want to make one other comment, and there are other things I could say, but I'm going to, you know, I'll have just a couple things to say at the end, but I don't want to obviously take the time from board members that have questions and comments as well, because that's important that happened tonight. But I think, you know, not only is it about identifying more kids across all domains, but it's ensuring that in this work we get more and more kids to our more enriched course offerings over time. And we have to be careful that right now we don't throw kids in harm's way, because we need to have support systems like AVID. There's other models that we need to consider, double doses, for example. And there are more than that. I'm just offering that so you understand I do have some ideas on this. But it's about, you know, if it's going to be about in the strategic plan of raising rigor, it's not raising rigor for some kids. It's raising rigor across the curriculum and creating systems of support around kids not to have them miss the experience of rigor, but to get them to that experience and catch them when they have the difficulty in the learning experience, if that occurs. So, you know, again, I don't mean to be trite around the whole idea of the goal only is to identify double the number of kids that meet the standard of TAG, okay? Because that's one way to frame it up. But matching our diversity in our school district and who we are serving, we have to have an absolute commitment to ensuring that kids who haven't participated in these courses, who we know if we do the right things over time, they'll be able to be successful. That's what we have to do. I mean, it's not just identifying, it's getting kids more actively involved in our most enriched learning opportunities. And in many ways, a great TAG plan, although we haven't really looked at it from that perspective as this is developed, is also about eliminating basic offerings for kids. It's getting kids to the most challenging learning and, again, creating systems of support so we don't throw kids in harm's way. So that's all to say that I agree with those assertions, and we will make that happen.
Thank you.
Mr. Hughes, followed by Ms. Masiak.
Thank you. First of all, I really want to thank those responsible for the materials that we received on this plan, as well as the supplementary materials. I think they were really helpful to me. And what was particularly helpful was to get the information on the kind of historical perspective and what's happened to the TAG program. It's informative and also, I think, really dismaying to learn about the extent to which TAG programming has really been kind of a neglected stepchild of the district over the last 15 almost 20 years, and the district has been free riding on the efforts of I think a number of families in the district, families who have worked hard to provide opportunities to their own kids and Eagle School and places like that. And that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is there must be lots of kids who have gone through our district in the last 10 or 15 years who are kids of potential who didn't have individual champions. And we've just lost that potential in our society, and that's an awful thing. So, I mean, it's certainly long past time that we address this issue and adopt a reasonable plan. So I'm really happy that we're taking this up and dealing with it. I have a couple of questions about what the practical implications of some of the provisions in the plan are that I'd like to pose. And I'm not asking for a response now, but it would be nice if we could get some information on this prior to the time that the next week when it comes up for a vote. One involves the recommendation for cluster grouping, and it's recommended as a best practice for TAG students at the elementary and middle school level. And depending on how you define cluster grouping and depending on how you define TAG students, if such a plan were implemented, it seems to me that that would result in a fairly significant change in the way that elementary school and middle school classes are organized and assigned. And so I'm interested in knowing exactly what, if we approve this plan, what are we approving with respect to the way that elementary and middle school classes are put together? I think legitimate questions have been raised about that, and one way or another, we need to know what we're approving. And the second question, another recommendation is, and I assume it's a recommendation in part because it's a legal requirement, which is that we have, what's the language, continuous and systematic opportunities available for identified students. And as has been pointed out, that seems at least a challenge to reconcile with the way the 9th and 10th grade classes are organized at West and the 9th grade classes are organized at Memorial. So again, it would be nice to know what the implication is if we adopt this plan for the way that those particular high school's classes are organized. I'm not, in raising the question, I don't mean to imply any particular view on what it means, but I would like to know so we are go into this with our eyes open with an agreed set of understandings of what the implications are of what exactly we are adopting.
Is that it? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hughes. Ms. Masiak, followed by Ms. Silvera.
Yeah.
I did not forget you.
How can we forget Marge?
Okay, Lucy. Put your mic on, Lucy.
It was on. I think I accidentally turned it off. I also want to thank everybody for getting us to the point where we can actually talk about a proposal. It has been a long time coming, and I also want to thank the superintendent for framing it in terms of compliance with DPI standards, because I think sometimes we forget that we need to do that. Not that I think that the standards are necessarily the highest level. I just view that as a baseline, and I'd like to get us there. I have a sort of a question. I'm not sure who can answer this one, but am I correct in understanding that at this time we have 7.5 FTEs as IRTs and the coordinator? Is that right? How many of the 7.5 are certified in TAIG education? One. How many have had college-level coursework?
We're aware of one that has a master certification in that, as the programming certification pathways have changed dramatically over the years. It is much more difficult to be certified in that area, in this particular area.
I wasn't asking that, and I'm just trying to get a baseline for where we are with our staffing.
If I could just very quickly, we can look to provide that information on coursework.
Well, I just
don't know off the top, and I don't know that we know. Do we know off the top how many of specific courses?
Not at the course level.
At
the certification level,
we do.
Okay, yeah, that would be helpful to know, because as I look at this document and I look at page 34, which is the description of appropriate gifted education programming. It says it must include the establishment of a systematic means of developing, implementing, and managing services, and the very first guiding principle is appropriately qualified personnel must direct services for the education of gifted learners. And then under that, the minimum standard is the designated coordinator must have completed coursework or staff development in gifted education. And the exemplary standard would be that the coordinator must have completed a certification program or advanced degree program. I'm a little concerned because, to me, all of the rest of this and how we implement it and our success or failure flows from that very fundamental question. Do we have staff that has the training, background, and experience? And I don't mean just background and experience. I mean the training to know what the tests are, what the characteristics of giftedness are, what some of the best practices might be. I can read a lot of research, but it doesn't mean that I should be a special ed teacher. It means that I have some ideas, but I have not gone through the rigor of a training program. And this is weighing on my mind because as I look through it, there's discussion of professional development, and it's geared towards our staff in the schools, but it seems to me that the very first place we need professional development and we need to develop our expertise is our cadre of that 7.5, either through new hires or through programs that will, by a certain date, get existing staff the training that would really make them qualified to know what the tests are, to know what the emerging tests and practices are for working with identifying students of color and low-income students who would be gifted or talented, who would know what the best practices are, who would know the difference between enrichment and gifted and TAIG curricular programming. I think this is a good start, but I also I'm concerned that without that basic step of having that cadre of educated, trained, certified people, which we would not do if we were talking about special ed, we wouldn't do it if we were talking about other fields of education, I'd say math, but there's a little debate over that right now, so we won't go there. But I do think that this is not an it shouldn't be that I've had more training than our TAIG coordinators. I have had a college class. I wanted to go into teaching, and they were still teaching that at the university. So I actually have had a college class. I've been in many ongoing extended training and learning programs to understand the nuances and what it means. And I just, you know, as I look at other pieces of this, I do think that, for example, when we talk about identification, I do worry about the assessment tools. I know that there are a battery of tools that are not on that list that would perhaps be used in a typical evaluation. They don't all require pre-existing knowledge, but they're the sort of things that people who are trained in educational psychology are prepared and qualified to administer. And I'm not, WKCE just, you know, we can't even tell what a gifted student has learned over the course of the year because a WKCE doesn't establish the potential. All it does is tell you whether the kid's at or below or above grade level. So those are some of the things that are on my mind. I think there are ways to achieve that, but, you know, just as Mr. Winston had a very good observation, what?
That's it?
No. Just as Mr. Winston had a very good observation about it would be helpful to identify the underserved populations and what we think is required to get to that, I personally would feel a lot more comfortable voting for this plan if we included the need for professional development starting with our TAG staff in the Doyle Building and then moving out. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't know what it is, if you aren't trained in it, how can you possibly develop the plan? I can't comprehend it. I can't get my head around it.
If I could yeah. respond... you know, I can't comment as much outside of the state of Wisconsin, but I think I have a pretty good feel for training institutions in the state of Wisconsin, which leads me to believe, and I think the plan is responsive, but maybe in ordering it, you know, TAG staff first and then the rest of the staff, we can think about that. I'm more than willing to think about that. But I think what this is going to call for is, and I'll have a discussion with our TAG staff, and I'll also have a discussion with our HR department in terms of whether or not my comments about the number of trained people, you know, how available they are, because I don't believe in terms of certified people that they're all that available. But we can do this in-house, and I have no problem with advancing that type of agenda. I think the plan is consistent with that. Maybe it could be made clear as to how we intend to do that. But I'm perfectly fine with that assertion, and I'm perfectly fine with defining that in more detail.
I mean, I have to say the only example of professional development for TAG staff really is buried way down the list and refers to socio-emotional development.
Right.
That's not adequate in my mind because you would hope that people who are presuming to identify kids who have potential, who are truly... Right. in that gifted and talented category, know what they're looking at, understand that a student who doesn't write may in fact have profound intellectual gifts but may have other reasons they don't write. There are a number of challenges, and you can't possibly know what they are unless you've had some training. I don't expect everyone to have a graduate level certification, but I certainly would expect to see some effort made at upper level advanced training for our staff so that they can do their jobs and the jobs we're expecting them to do. We may not have them in state, but as I recall, Northwestern is right over the border, probably closer to us than, you know, there are other institutions that do have people. We can bring Marge in from California. Surely we could bring in Donna Ford from Vanderbilt or... Yeah, I mean, there are a number of people who could do this, whether they're here or not.
I agree.
Purdue, I don't know if they still have, but they long had a center for gifted and talented education. Whether we choose to use all of those tools, I would argue that we have to. Mm-hmm. We have to. And if the state of Wisconsin cannot, through its universities, provide that training, although I think Whitewater has programs, doesn't it? Yeah. So there are people.
Right.
We have to use them. And that brings me to another point, which is there are exemplary districts, and I do think there is such a thing as review and benchmarking and consultation. I think we've got a baseline for things that can happen in the next year, but the job is bigger than that, and I think we really need to invest some time and energy in that as well. One of the questions I have in my mind is it your intention that TAG will continue to be located in teaching and learning, Mr. Superintendent?
As I have said at other times, upon the approval of the strategic plan, I will be looking at the entire organization. I have not finalized that because I want to do that comprehensively at that point in time. I think I've tried to assure you that I'll get about that work quickly after the approval of the plan. It will take some time to do it, and I will look at that piece when I do that.
I understand that. Let me just say that my question is not based in my questioning you and your intent.
Right.
It was, as I've sat here thinking about that issue of, again, that testing is just critical. I was a little concerned again to see the description of our basic reading assessment and our basic math assessment. If we've got a primary large language arts assessment that's based on reading recovery, that concerns me greatly. Some of the things you might be looking for might not be appropriate because the kid may be in kindergarten, but they're no longer an emerging reader. They've been reading for years, or they may not display some of the characteristics you'd expect to see because, for a number of reasons having to do with culture, background, or other factors. Again, there are a number of psychological tests that are very good at assessing cognition and ability to decode and other things, and none of them are on the list. So, a lot of those are really not rooted in the curricular work that you would see in teaching and learning, but they'd be rooted in the student services area with the psychologists and the people who really do ed psych sorts of things. And so that's sort of where I was going with that question, and I didn't mean to imply you weren't thinking about it, but I just, regardless of where it is, I think some portion of this might sooner, hopefully, rather than later, if we're talking about identification, address the need to bring in our psychologists. Back in the day when my kids were little, the school psychologists, were not so shaved off that they were barely breathing by the end of the day. But the school psychologists, in many cases, were an integral part of identifying and understanding students and also identifying and understanding students who might be twice gifted with a disability and a profound academic talent. So those are the things that are on my mind. I am happy to be at a point where we can vote on something, but I do ask that you maybe consider adding the professional development educational pieces here first and then moving out.
Okay. If I could, just to be clear, what I was trying to communicate, and perhaps I didn't do it as clearly as I wanted to, is there will come a point in time where all of that needs to be looked at, and it will be looked at. I wasn't taking that as it should have been done, because I think you have good knowledge that, there's first things and then there's second things. So.
And I understand that. Just one last point, and that is the reason I'm hammering so hard on what I believe to be a foundation block is that we have lost a lot of time in this district. We've lost a lot of families in this district. And I would hate to see us expend time and energy in ways that may not be helpful or productive or get us any farther than we are today. So that's why I'm pushing so hard. It's not, and I think we have a number of excellent staff who would rise to the occasion and really embrace that.
Sure.
Thank you. Ms. Silvera, followed by Ms. Passman, followed by Ms. Moss.
I'd like to thank everyone for all of their efforts as well in putting this plan together, and thank you, Barbie, for stepping up when there was a need. It's much appreciated. I also like to thank the superintendent. I remember very shortly after you started, probably about a little over a year ago, when we were meeting, I think it was individually, and you had already identified this as a gap in our district and a need for a comprehensive plan in moving forward. And I appreciate your advocacy for this and your willingness to continue to move this forward. And now we're at a spot where we have a plan to review and hopefully approve next week. Everyone's efforts are much appreciated. I support Mr. Winston on the expanded advisory committee. I think we need to do that geographically, district-wise as well, and also in calling out the underserved populations. I think that's a great idea. I also support the professional development expansion as well. I just have a couple of comments that have not been addressed. One is just a concern that I have, but I think it's going to be addressed in the plan, and that really is the number of the number of resources. As you read through the plan, so I think it was the introduction, it becomes quite clear that with the 7.5, or was it the number? The 7.5, things appear to be stretched right now. And if we're really going to do a good job and be proactive at our identification process, I imagine that the number of students that we'll be serving will increase substantially, which is a very good thing. So I am supportive of the additional one FTE in the budget, but I'm also very supportive of the part of the plan that does the benchmarking and looking at what other districts do, because I want to make sure that we're not identifying many more students who we need to work with, and then are even more restricted by just people power. So I'm glad that's in the plan. I have a question on the district-wide assessment tools, and I think it's page 10 and 11. And you know, you talk about in the resources needed, there are a couple of things that talk about budget for district-wide assessment tools and potentially MAP, potentially other things. And that seems to be a very important part of how we're going to move forward in the identification goal. Yet it's not reflected in the budget.
If I could, fair please. Question, and we haven't had the agenda item later on relative to ARA, but you'll note in that plan there is $100,000 built in for this type of identification.
I'm not saying
it covers all of it, but it'll get us down the road.
So that's the linkage.
That's the linkage.
And that would, what we'll see later, would cover what you think is needed in the screening sections, potentially part of it, some of it?
It will address part of it, because what we haven't done is, I want to be careful about that, because, you know, if once we look at these five domains, there's going to be other resources that we're going to need in terms of, you know, how are we going to assess strength of leadership or quality of leadership or however you want to look at it. So what I would ask you to look at it is a good first step. And then we'll have to budget annually for additional resources in this area.
Okay. Thanks.
That's what we'll do.
And then this is probably best for you, Superintendent. The DEPs, mm-hmm. How do they relate to the individual learning plans that are called out in the strategic plan?
Sure. I want to reinforce a point that Barbie made in her presentation. In many ways, it's point in time. Because a vision we could hold is once we have a quality individual learning plan, and it can accurately assess all kinds of needs, maybe that would represent the plan for all kids, and it would call out in recognition for TAG kids as well. We're not there yet. I mean, number one, the concept hasn't been approved. Number two, you have to build that capacity over time. And in the short term, I'm interested and I don't want to be misunderstood, I'm interested in more than this, but we want to meet compliance on identification, and the concept of tying it to the DEP, I think, really anchors us there. So I would think of it in the same way that Barbie presented it, as point in time. We'll start with the DEP.
Yeah.
When we have, if and when we have an ILP, and we have it for a number of years, we should say to ourselves, can this meet multiple needs? You know, can that process accurately pick up all the things we want to pick up in the identification of TAG kids? I hope so.
Yeah.
And that's the vision we should hold. But I don't want to say that because I don't know what it's going to look like yet, the ILP.
Okay.
Okay.
Understood.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Ms. Passman, followed by Ms. Moss.
Yes, I am, of course, going to support this plan. It's a long time coming, and I think it's a very good beginning. Winston Churchill would say it's not even the beginning of the end, but it is perhaps the end of the beginning. And I think this is very appropriate that we get there. And it's been a long time coming. And I particularly want to say something to the parents who stuck by this district, that kept their children in these schools. You did criticize. You did complain. You did everything you possibly could, but you kept your child in Madison schools. So there must have been something good about us that kept you there anyway. And there is lots of good in this district. And this plan is a work in progress. I mean, that's how I view it. It's not the final. It's not everything. And you may not get everything you want in this plan. But I think it is an excellent start to something that should have happened, you know, years ago. If I remember someone's email to me where they said, if you're going to do it right. Probably Lori, right? I guess it would be. And I think this is true. Let's get this right, and let's do it the right way. And so I get 100% support for this. I am particularly impressed with the amount of emphasis you're putting on professional development for staff. This is needed throughout K-12, and I think we need to do something about that, very much so. I appreciate Lucy's comments on credentials for tax people. I would hope that the same thing we're wishing for in the middle school, that we have middle school teachers that know math, that we would know tax people who know tax. And I think it's good. And I'm proud of my district, and I'm proud of my superintendent for coming out and doing this after so many years. And I know there were ups and downs in the process, and I just want to thank the individual parents involved that struggled and came through.
We lost that last statement, Marge.
Oh, I'm sorry. I pushed the wrong button. I'm not that tags-oriented, I guess. I just wanted to thank all the parents who went through the struggles and stood by us, even at the end, the bitter end. And thank you. Thank you very much for everything you did for us and for the children of this district. Much appreciated.
Ms. Moss?
Okay. I wanted to actually, Ms. Silvera mentioned the ARRA funds that are going to be coming up later in the Operational Support Committee meeting, and that was something I wanted to bring up. So I hope that we can kind of remember, kind of keep this conversation going when we are talking about the funding for the assessments. I have a question for Lisa. I was wondering, I noticed the timeline of September through November 2009. And it's already August. Do we have time to get this going for this September? Because I would really urge everybody to pass this for next week, just so that we can. Is it going to be possible so that we can try to get this going at the beginning of school this year?
Are you referring to the identification process?
Mm-hmm. Right.
As far as the timelines, they are definitely ambitious, but we talked about the timelines repeatedly, trying to make them as realistic as possible and to be meeting the spirit and the language of what we said we would do, develop a district-wide screening process incorporating these elements. I do believe we're going to be able to meet those benchmarks.
Okay, great. Okay, and one other just quick comment I wanted to make. I really think that for the domain for leadership, we can get really creative. I know MSCR has a junior leader program that is not able, it has a waiting list. There are a lot of kids who want to be in that program in the middle school. So that's something we can start to look at these kinds of programs in the district and maybe try to encourage more of the kids who are identified and maybe make that part of their education plan to participate in those kinds of programs. So.
Okay, I just wanted to make a couple comments from what everyone was saying. I wanted to just reiterate that I agree with Mr. Hughes that it would be helpful before next week to kind of understand better what this will look like once we approve it. For me, personally, it's if we're going to identify, assume we're going to start with first, fifth, and eighth grades. That's where the identification process will start.
Start with what? I'm sorry.
That we would be implementing this identification process. I want to see how it rolls out. It sounds like there was reference to first, fifth, and eighth, you know, kind of transition time. So I just want to know if that's what we're going to do and how long do you think it would take to get to a point where we can identify over 25,000 students. I mean, it's a big undertaking. So that was one thing. And then my second is that Mr. Hughes had mentioned, you know, the English at West and Memorial. And I hear a lot from middle school parents, once we pass it, is this a sea change of where parents can expect that there will be more offerings as far as programming? Because I think that... that's something that I get asked, and so if we can have some kind of specific of what that would look like. Another idea regarding that about programming is that we went through a process where we were talking about online credit and Wikidy, mm-hmm. and it just didn't get conveyed to the parents that that's out there, that students have access to that, and or at least the parents that were talking to me, that they can get credit for that, especially in middle school. So kind of giving us a better idea of the communication plan. So it's those timelines. And then I just wanted to reiterate something that resonated with me, I think Ms. Mathiak brought it up, was the socio-emotional needs of these kids. I think that gets missed quite a bit. There's a stereotype that there's an affluent parent that has high-flying kids and that they just leave the district and go to Eagle or wherever. And a lot of times what gets missed because of a parent's reluctance to even talk about this is the trauma that some of these kids face, whether it's bullying, whether it's not being understood. And, you know, I agree with Ms. Mathiak that we need professional development really embedded in this. And when I said that 7.5 FTEs isn't enough, what I meant is that we take great concerted effort to have these cross-categorical teachers for special ed. And a lot of the reasons is that an IEP is federally mandated. We all know that parents are more than willing to sue the district if that's not followed. We have nothing. We have very little leverage in this plan, I think, other than our good intentions and the fact that we want to keep the trust of families in the district, and I think that we're heading in that direction. So for me, I would like to know whether at some point we can have a discussion of having some of our counselors at our middle schools trained in TAG programming or going in and out, and this is something that maybe you could ask the TAG group, the folks, the staff, of what that would look like, because we have kids that are twice exceptional, you know, that qualify for both services, and we have this transition period in middle school and high school where these kids are really getting traumatized on a level that I don't think, unless you've gone through it, you can understand. And most parents do not have this opportunity to sit before you and talk about it. And I submit that a lot of the counselors don't understand. And when a child is labeled as gifted and talented in one area, what typically happens is that they're sent to the academic advisor. They're not sent to the counselor, and they really need to be getting counseling because they're at a state, and so where they can't deal with this, and we're just kind of leaving them alone to struggle with this. So I really would like to see us to look at that, where we can embed FTEs in our current services, that this be a concerted effort that the district is embracing this, and that we don't get away, that we don't give the opinion that this is elitist or that this is separate. And I've thought about this when it comes to cultural relevant, instructional resource teachers. They should be sharing some of this TAG programming, and I would like to see that happen in the budget or in some of this strategic planning money. Superintendent?
If I could, please, just a few things. We will work to answer the questions that were raised tonight. I am a little bit concerned because some of the questions are very big questions, and they really require some time and some thought. And again, here my first message is our goal will be to answer as many as we can. My second point is I hope if there are some areas that we can't answer because of the time issue only, that we can advance this plan now. My third point is there is a lot of work behind this plan. The whole idea of identification is a commitment in this plan, but there's a lot of things that we need to do to put that in place. The sooner we can go about knowing that we have direction, the sooner we can take the first steps and the second steps and the third steps. And I just want to underscore there are a lot of steps to take here in terms of the terms I've been using is building the capacity inside the organization to accomplish this. People shouldn't doubt the intention, but we have to backfill it now with the blood, sweat, and at times maybe some tears and hopefully some joy too. My final comment will be it is tying back to what Ms. Maslin said earlier. And obviously, this is about creating opportunity, but how we do this is a very complex matter. And I'm more than willing to go down the road and have the dialogue, but it should be about creating more talent. It should be about creating more opportunity. It should be about raising rigor and involvement for more kids. And we have to be careful as we go, because though each decision we make along the way can create more AP courses using that example with less diversity, or it can create AP courses which with much more complete diversity. This, in many ways, is the challenge of our time in a diverse school district. And so it's not just about TAG programming, but it's about what we ultimately need to do in serving all these wonderful kids in this community and this school district. And so I appreciate the perspective that you bring as a student, and I think you raise appropriate cautions. I think we can address them as we go, but we need to be mindful of the kind of dialogue that Sarah posed in answering those questions. Again, I'm not saying it's always tricky. I'm not saying it should be avoiding action, and I'm willing to look at everything. I'm willing to look at what kind of criteria do we have in place for kids that have, well, any kid that wants to take, any student that wants to take advanced course, and revisit all of that. So make sure you hear me say all of it can be on the table. But we need to be mindful of the points that Sarah made, and I certainly will be, and I assure you I will be as we go forward.
Thank you for those comments, Superintendent. Okay. Any more? Oh, we have a couple comments. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bettina Littman, part of the TAG team, and I just have to say a sincere thank you for the expression of support and the direction that I feel our district is going to be taking from this day forward with regard to TAG programming. It is most exciting, most appropriate, and I think it does take a village, and I think we realize by that statement beyond just our TAG team, but who we have to involve with this. the administrators in our schools, to who we know already there are some wonderful teachers out there that are making the needs of our kids met in so many different wonderful ways, and sharing of those wonderful strategies so other kids can, other teachers can feel the comfort of teaching these students. But again, I'm humbled and I'm just delighted with the conversation that happened tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Bettine.
I've got one more comment.
Marge, can you let Chris wants to say something, and then I'll have you comment.
Sure.
And I would just like to thank you in advance, because looking at this plan, the exciting thing is that we're starting, that it's beginning, and there's nowhere to go but up, I believe, which it's exciting because you get to build it. We get to build it from here and grow from here. And I think when we talk about all the components that we want to build as far as the underserved populations, and it really starts at the elementary school. And it's not going to, you know, the superintendent has said before, we're not going to flick on the switch and everything is, it's going to be in place. And I know everybody realizes that this is a lot of work. I think the TAG staff are kind of bracing for that. And I think once the identification starts and the numbers start rolling in, I think we're going to be amazed at if we're really looking at the kids who are performing above grade level, and we really take a look at this talent development level that is included in TAG, I think we're really going to be amazed at the number of students and what it's going to require. So I don't want you to think that the one FTE that is being requested for this year is the only thing you're going to hear. We'll take a look at that and see what's needed based on the information that's going to start coming in. And we look forward to continuing the conversation with you.
Thank you. Lori Frost is going to make a comment. Sorry,
yeah,
Marge,
I'll give you the last word. How about?
Never, Lori. Never.
Okay, after you. Right. I mean, I'll give you the last word. First, I want to apologize personally to you, Johnny. I mean, those were glaring errors, and I appreciate your catching them. I don't think the same errors were made in the supplementary materials. I hope you know that we have that kind of commitment that you're asking us to have from kindergarten on up to the African American community, the Latino community, et cetera. Twice exceptional students. Mr. Merce sort of indirectly referred to twice exceptionality earlier this evening. We've got that going. Marge said, I said, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. That's part of doing it right in my book, absolutely. I've been a parent in this district for 14 years. I only have two left. I never thought I'd see this day come, and here it is. Well, I guess next week. It's pretty exciting, and I want to thank each and every one of you for your very wise questions and comments and your insights and your support. Take it away, Marge.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to quote my Yiddish grandmother, who used to say that I should live to see this day. And it was really exciting. And I think basically we can end with another Winston Churchill quote that says, blood, sweat, and tears are still ahead. But it is the beginning, and it's a wonderful beginning. And this conversation was incredible tonight. I didn't think it would happen either. So.
Hey, I just want to say to Ms. Passman, and I have Spielkes in my Gnade
gebracht. Oh, Gesagesend. Sometimes I think she knows more Yiddish than I know. And I